around, there's a party over there that ain't no job. It's live, live, it's all the way live. Don't even have to walk, don't even have to drive. Just slide, slide, slippity slide. Just forget about the troubles and your 9 to 5 and just sail on. That's what you do, just sail on. Now the dude's so funky, hey, what do you think?
Welcome back to Ball Don't Lie right here on 104.9 The Horn. I didn't want to interrupt the lyrics, actually.
they were flowing. You know what we got to do?
They were flowing so well. I was like, I don't want to interrupt the lyrics right there in case somebody was actually jamming on a funky hump day. Patrick doing a great job DJing a funky hump day right here on Ball Don't Lie. You can always be a part of the show, 512-337-3776. You also can hit us up via Twitter. I'm at Rod Babers in the Twitterverse. My man Harge is at Hardball Harge in the Twitterverse. And my man Patrick Davis, the real MVP at It's Patrick Davis in the Twitterverse. All right, what you got for the people on Hard Knock Life? Give the people a little bit of a tease real quick before we talk some Texas football.
We're going to see the dark side of baseball, and then we're also going to see the new age of baseball. So
hold on, is the new age the dark side?
It can be by some people. No. But this one is going to go back to a situation that happened, and it actually it's about two teams that are facing each other right now.
Okay.
And what happened a few years ago that we're starting to get some clarity on.
Okay. All right. Yep. We'll get into that in a Hard Knock Life, which will be coming up for you in about 25 minutes or so. So it's going to be really good stuff. All right. In the meantime, let's talk about some Texas football. Let's get into actually, this is good news for Longhorn football fans who have been, I'm going to say they're on edge lately, but Longhorn fans have been. They have been anxiously waiting on word from Jordan Addison, so it has them on pins and needles. So they've been Longhorn fans have been jumping at every little thing on social media that could possibly foreshadow what the future holds for them and Jordan Addison. Remember the Lincoln Riley? We tweeted out an emoji of a peace sign. Longhorn fans like, oh, does that mean Jordan Addison is he's chunking a deuce to everybody else and he's coming out? It's like, I don't know what the hell that means. Who could decipher a peace sign? And then he got some recruits. I think he got some commitments and people talking about that. Well, now Longhorn fans are looking at different accounts from Longhorn coaches and players. Bijan Robinson, who tweeted at Jordan Addison, who's at ESPN_Jordan, if you want to cyber stalk him if you want to. He tweeted, come on home. Come on home to Jordan Addison. Longhorn fans lost their mind. Brennan Marion, he's also adding to the, you know, he's pouring a little gasoline on the fire. He tweeted this out yesterday, and this is got to be a song lyric, and I don't know what song it's from. There's a rumor going around about me and you, .. stirring up our little town, .. the last week or two, .. there's a rumor going round. What you say, we make it true. .. And you know what they're doing. I mean, they know exactly what they're doing, right? This is basically like thirst trap for Longhorn fans. They're thirst trapping you, Longhorn fans. And he knows exactly what he's doing. And it's working. Because I think we're all like, we're waiting with bated breath. Like, what does it mean? What does it mean? What does it mean? Tell me what it means.
No one knows what it means.
Nobody knows what it means.
But it's provocative.
It gets the people going, and it does. It gets the people That's going. Right. So I don't know what it means. People, I'm not even going to lie to you. I wish I had inside information for you about it. I don't. And Harge, I don't think any of it means anything. No. I think Texas is still in a discussion. I think it is close to being a two-horse race between USC and Texas. There may be another school that can jump in there, but I think it's how about this? This is what I think is good news for Longhorn fans. That after that USC trip, somehow USC's influence and Texas' influence convinced him to say F Bama. That's what we're hearing now. That he is not taking a trip to official trip to Bama, and he has not even scheduled one. Maybe Brennan Marion and company convinced him, listen, man, if you're not going to come to Texas, I get it. But don't go to Bama and play us.
Right, right.
You want to do your boy a real favor.
Yeah,
You ain't got to come here. I wish you would. Please come here. But if you don't want to come here, I get it. But don't go to Bama and then have to play us. Don't do that. Don't make me have to, you know, break out the scouting report against you, and you know I know you really well.
Right, right.
All right? Don't have me have to do that. Don't have that have to happen, all right? Go to USC. We don't have to see you anymore. We don't have to worry about you, and we can all root you on and wish you well.
That sounds pretty
and
good.
We don't like Lincoln like Riley, but you know what? We ain't got to play him no more, so, hey, go with God.
Yeah.
Godspeed.
Go with God.
Maybe that was the pitch, like, you just don't go to Bama.
Right.
We don't want to play you.
And that's fair. That's a good move. I hope that you're right.
Right, because why is Bama? Why is he not taking a visit to Bama? It's Bama. It's Nick freaking Saban, the GOAT, and it's the Heisman Trophy winning quarterback.
Yes.
If you want to win championships, well, Bama ain't a bad place to go. You want to get drafted into the first round as a receiver? Bama's not a bad place to go.
Now, I will say NIL wise, it's probably the lowest of the three. Because they have so much other money spent in other places.
I'm not disagreeing with that. I don't know what the money figures are. We don't, but you're right. I mean, I'm sure it's Bama. They can get the money.
They can get money. But I'm guessing USC and Texas really, really, really want him. And Alabama's like, hey, it'd be nice if you came over.
Yeah.
So the pitch may not be also like we're planning on you saving our season this year.
Could be. I don't know. Yeah, I think that
says those lyrics are called from Lee Bryce, and the song is called Rumor. That's where those lyrics came from that you were ...
Oh, is that the Rumor song?
Yeah, yep. That's
I prefer, who is it? Is it Timex Social Club? Who sings the song Rumors? Is
that Fleetwood Mac has Rumors?
No, I know you're talking about Timex Social Club.
You know what I'm talking about? Looking at these rumors surrounding me every day.
I know that one.
I just need some time to get it. I prefer that Rumor song. So that's mine. Can we put those lyrics out there? I'm a Timex Social Club guy. Yeah, I believe that's who. Why do I know that? Is that what it is?
Oh, yeah. It is.
Why do I know that?
Because that's the talent that you got, dog.
That ain't no talent.
You like the old school music. You talked about your parents and James Brown. Timex was what it was.
But that's wasting space in my brain right now. I came quick with that, too. Like, boom, like, this is one of my favorite bands.
Yeah.
I do like that song, though.
See?
That sounds a good song. It's a good song. It's a good song. My favorite Rumor song. Yes, good song. Yeah. And it's good. The beat's cool.
100%. I used to jam that thing all the time.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. But like Club Nouveau. Club Nouveau. That's right.
All right, that's the latest on Jordan Addison. So the basic latest is we don't know anything new.
My biggest question is, what's the latest on the Ajayi Hall?
Actually good news, and we do have actually something substantive to report. My man Chip Brown always doing a good job. Chip Brown's a good friend of both of ours, and Chip Brown reported today over at Horns 24/7. He said a source that he talked to said Ajayi Hall will be enrolled at Texas by the end of the month. He said according to Hall's team, Tampa 7-on-7 coach. See, 7-on-7 coaches are powerful, man.
They still right there.
Still right there. Used to be the shady uncle. Now it's just 7-on-7 coach. His 7-on-7 coach.
Who might be his shady uncle.
Might be his shady uncle. Might be the same guy. Woodrow Grady. He even got a shady name. Woodrow Grady.
That's Fred G. Stanford. And the G stands for getting money.
Woodrow Grady said in response to the reports raising questions about Hall in Texas, basically, he said at least two reports Tuesday noted that Hall had removed all posts and photos related to him joining the Longhorns from his social media accounts. Once again, talking about social media accounts. The reports also led to questions being raised on social media about whether Hall's name had been removed from Texas's roster. Hall's name has not yet appeared on Texas's roster because he's enrolled for June classes. And Hall had removed those earlier posts from his social media a few weeks ago. So that wasn't something he did in the recent, kind of the immediacy there. People, basically, this is what Grady is saying, his 7-on-7 coach. Quote, people need to check blank before they write blank. That report was complete BS, he says. And another source close to Hall said Hall will be in Austin next week to get settled in before beginning summer classes and summer workouts with the Longhorns.
See, and that's the part about it, Rod, is where everybody jumps to the internet, right? Everybody looks at what's going on Twitter, what's going on Instagram. That day when I said, let's see what time of day it was. That was my sleuth in me. I was trying to inspect to see exactly when Jordan Addison posted.
Oh, yeah. You did a good job on that, too.
You know what I'm saying? You got to look at the horizon and look and see what time of day it was.
That was good.
The right time. You know, there's certain clues that you can look for try to say, all right, yes or no.
True that.
You know, you talked about the peace sign. I said yesterday, I think it was because they got two other guys that committed on that same day.
Mm-hmm.
They already had it. It was like, fight on. You know, that's what they did.
Yep.
So now you look at it and everybody's trying to, because I think the biggest story here is how bad everybody wants this guy. Right? He's the number one player. Yeah. He's the Biletnikoff winner. So every little thing is magnified. You talked about it. But the other part of it is sometimes you just got to let things happen because we're still dealing with a kid. Now, I don't want to call him a kid. You're still dealing with a young man that is feeling himself, so to speak. He's being able to be re-recruited. He just won the award. He knows he's a hot commodity. Let him go have fun. Let him go enjoy himself. And then when he decides, I want to go to Texas, I want to go to USC, I want to go to Ohio State. It is what it is. This dude has worked his butt off to get to this point.
No doubt.
Do we want him here? Absolutely. Does it change the way Texas will be looked at? Absolutely. Does it put, like you said yesterday, is this changes the entire dynamics of the offense because of all the weapons that you will have. But let the man enjoy himself. He just got his fifth star, man. Everybody don't get that fifth star.
Took him winning a national award to get a fifth star from 247. I love 247. They do a great job. That story is asinine.
Star,
it's like,
man.
They did. They gave him early this week. The article was he got his fifth star. And it's like, what? He's the best receiver in the country. He doesn't need stars anymore.
He's a Biletnikoff winner.
He doesn't need the stars. Drop the stars. Give up the stars, 247. He won the Biletnikoff. Drop the stars. It's all good. Like, just drop it. It's all good.
Oh, man, I love it.
No, it's fine. But no, to you, I agree with you. We should just let it play out. I think the what is intriguing is everybody wants to know the factors that are going to sway him and influence him.
I feel that.
That's why, to me, it's intriguing that he decided he doesn't want to be at Bama. So maybe it is what Patrick brought up. Maybe it was as simple as, oh, they didn't meet the figure. You ain't going to meet the figure? We don't even need to talk. I don't even need to go there.
Yeah.
It could be that. It could be, you know what? But choosing between Austin, Texas and Hollywood, you know what? Tuscaloosa. You ain't quite one of these things is not like the other, and I want to play in Hollywood or Austin, Texas,
right.
And Tuscaloosa. Even though it is a great football mecca and all that kind of stuff, it ain't necessarily on the same pop culture mecca level as an ATX. And ATX ain't near the level of a Hollywood, and we all agree. So maybe he's like, you know what? I want to spend my last year in a great city.
Right.
I mean, literally, I want to live in a great city for one season and play college football and also not have to worry about money. I don't even know what he's academically where he is, but I imagine he's close to graduating. He's like a smart young man. I don't know what's – I think this intriguing thing is what sways him.
Yeah.
What is going to be the ultimate? Is it just, you know what? Man, he saw the beaches of L.A. and said, man, who wouldn't want to play here?
Right.
He saw the beaches of L.A. and the women of L.A. and said, you know, I can wake up to this every day. On the weekend, I can just come out here to the beach and go kick it and hang out with some of the most beautiful women in the world and also play football for a prestigious blue blood and one of the best offensive minds in the game with my homeboy that I used to play with. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what's going to sway
him. We
can
throw in offensive minds is that he can go, I can play with Lincoln Riley, who orchestrated a lot of great offenses at Oklahoma. Yeah. I can play with Sark, who orchestrated a lot of great offenses at Arkansas. Or I can play for Bill O'Brien. Or I can play for Bill O'Brien.
Exactly.
So that may come to it as well.
Okay, maybe that too. No, I'm with you.
It may be that.
Made me spit out my drink, dog, talking about Bill O'Brien.
He's a guy that's renowned.
But he got a Heisman Trophy, though.
He got
a Heisman Trophy winner, though. Bill O'Brien got a Heisman Trophy
that's
winner.
That's very true.
It's true. And every Alabama fan I know was like, that's the worst offense I've seen Alabama play in years.
There's no – Bill O'Brien. Yeah, he just can't get – he can't catch a break because no fans like Bill O'Brien. Everywhere he goes, ends up being kind of a hated figure, a vilified figure. Bama fans were thinking he was going to get fired in the offseason. They thought they're going to upgrade to another offensive mind. And I was surprised they didn't. I was surprised that, because you know that Dan Mullen's coaching high school?
Yeah, I saw that.
Man, I was surprised that Nick Saban didn't say, oh, Bill O'Brien, you are fired right now. Dan Mullen is hired, at least for this one year he wants to be on there. Or you're demoted to assistant offensive coordinator or whatever. I was surprised Dan Mullen's he must want to just coach high school. There's no way he hasn't gotten calls and offers.
Yeah, he probably wanted to take the
time
off.
Yeah,
take a little time off.
Yeah.
I will say, I think Saban, too, has a little bit of pride in the Nick Saban car wash. And he knows the career car wash that you've called it before, where it's like, hey, man, Bill, I need you to get another job because now everybody wants to come to Alabama to be my offensive coordinator. If you go get another good job after this, that
I don't
position.
Have to fire you.
If I fire you,
it don't look good.
Yeah, because now everyone's
like, oh, my gosh, yeah. That's a good point. That's a good point about that. There's a good point about the reputation. And usually guys just, and I think he got job offers. I just think he didn't take it. And I think Nick Saban's looking at him like, dude, why didn't you take those jobs? You're not going to get better offers. You're not that good. You're holding me back.
The Patriots were not going to call you offensive coordinator job offer that they were doing now. A weird one.
Somebody says O'Brien was a good college coach. Listen, I've said on this show, I've said it numerous times, I think Bill O'Brien actually was a decent NFL coach. What happened to Bill O'Brien is power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. They turned Bill O'Brien not only into the head coach, but like, hey, call your own plays, Bill O'Brien. Hey, Bill O'Brien, why don't you also pick out your own players? Yes. Maybe the GM, and you can build your own roster as well.
Hey, Belichick.
You want to be the capologist, Bill O'Brien? It's like, well, when you gave him 4 or 5 different jobs to do, no checks and balances, of course he turned out to be a disaster. That's a disastrous business model. You should have put checks and balances in place to support him. You did not do that. So a guy that was a decent head coach in the NFL that won divisions with Jags at quarterback. You can't be a bad coach in the NFL and win with Jags at quarterback in multiple years. Hell, I had a 20-something point lead on the Chiefs and Kansas City in the playoffs. But like I said, Bill O'Brien, the GM, essentially, he doomed.
He's like Jerry Jones.
Bill O'Brien, the GM, doomed Bill O'Brien, the head coach.
Yep.
Bill O'Brien, head coach, could never succeed because Bill O'Brien, the GM, doomed him from the start. He was just—he got way too power hungry. He was like, to me, when he got—and I know Easterby is a big part of this too—but when he got that GM title, in addition to already the guy that was calling the plays and being the head coach, I said that I was like, man, that's it. It's too much. It's too much for him. He's not that good. He's not Belichick.
Yeah, he's not Belichick.
They want him to be best. He's not Belichick. He was just a decent head coach that they corrupted.
That's every Patriot disciple of Bill Belichick. Every person that picks up a coach from him thinks that they're going to have the Belichick mojo. Not even close.
Not even close.
None of them have been successful.
But that guy had a chance. Bill O'Brien had a chance.
I'll say he was the only one.
The organization.
And that's all I'll say. And I'll say he's a good coach. I think when you talk about like different minds offensively and guys who put together schemes that players want to play in.
Creative.
He has kind of always been a meat and potatoes guy.
That's very true.
It works.
Yeah.
It works what he does, but it's like it works to a level.
Great point. No, I'm with you on that.
And then you lose to Georgia in the national championship game.
No, I don't disagree with that. That's why, as I said, when they made him the offensive coordinator, that was also, I think, a little bit of a mistake. It's like, no. He don't need to be calling his own plays. He needs to be a guy that's just managing the roster, managing the coaches, and they screwed that up. He was like Sméagol in Gollum from Lord of the Rings. My precious. When he got that power, it changed him. Remember, he's cussing out fans. He's cussing out players. He cussed out J.J. Watt. He really did. The power corrupted him. And this is a guy that wasn't. I don't think he was a terrible person. He started calling him Teapot because he would blow his top so often.
All the time.
And then trade DeAndre Hopkins because he's not a culture fit.
Exactly.
He doesn't have the right character to be here.
Too many.
While you're cussing at people, yelling at people.
Exactly.
Every word.
Too many baby mamas or whatever the hell it was.
Oh, he's bringing girls over here. Yeah, you're yelling at the star players. You don't care. Let him have girls. He's catching balls.
You're cussing out Captain America, J.J. White. That's what got him fired.
Exactly.
All that stuff. None of the guy got fired. The thing that got him fired, remember, I think the management saw him cuss out J.J. Watt. And J.J. Watt basically, he got in a screaming match with quarterbacks, Brock Osweiler. He got in a screaming match. He got in a screaming match with Jadeveon Clowney. He got in a screaming match with like 5-6 different players. But the J.J. Watt screaming match, they were like, okay, dude, you can't get along with J.J. Watt. You can't get along with nobody.
Yeah.
And I kind of agree with that.
Yeah.
I agree with that. Yeah. Sorry, random Bill O'Brien discussion from a former Texans fan who renounced his fandom and a frustrated Texans fan. So, there you go. All right, sorry, we're supposed to talk more Longhorn stuff here, but let's get to one Longhorn story. We'll get to the others in the 6 o'clock. But I saw this this story from, and this is from 247 Sports, so I'll give them credit. They listed a group of quarterbacks, transfer quarterbacks, all right, that they said were poised to have a breakout seasons, and of course, you're talking about transfer quarterbacks. Of course, they listed Quinn Ewers among that group. The other quarterbacks they listed, because they listed 7 quarterbacks total, but 3 of them were in the Big 12. So they said poised quarterbacks who are transfer quarterbacks poised to thrive. They listed JT Daniels, Dylan Gabriel, JT Daniels at West Virginia, Dylan Gabriel at Oklahoma, and Quinn Ewers. Those are all in the Big 12. Then they also listed Max Johnson, shout out to the Aggies. I don't know if they expect him to win that job. Spencer Rattler at South Carolina. Then they also brought up Jackson Dart, who's at Ole Miss. So three SEC quarterbacks. And then there's Caleb Williams from USC. All quarterbacks, transfer quarterbacks, they say are poised to thrive. Remember, I brought this up yesterday, and I went and finally did the research, and I wanted to find out what, like, how often you've had this this little or few quarterbacks returning from last season. Remember, I told you that the basically
in the Big 12,
like you don't really have a lot of quarterbacks returning this season. I think Spencer Sanders is in there, Max Duggan is in there, but there's a good chance Max Duggan doesn't even win that job. I mean, there are a lot of people that are saying that Chandler Morris could end up winning that job and not Max Duggan. So that'd be, you know, Max Duggan played the majority of the games for TCU last year.
New coaching staff.
Yep. Tyler Shuck returns, but Tyler Shuck got hurt versus Texas, so he didn't play the majority of the games for Tech last year. Remember Jalen Daniels for Kansas?
Yep.
He didn't play the majority of their games last year because he didn't start initially. There was another guy that started. So Spencer Sanders is basically, you know, if Max Duggan wins that job, you'll count those two. But Spencer Sanders and Max Duggan are the only quarterbacks who played the majority of the games last season who are also scheduled to return and start next year. But that's it, maybe for Max Duggan. So I went back and looked at it. How often has that happened where you've had, you know, that few quarterbacks returning? 2017, 2018, it was just Will Grier from West Virginia and Peyton Bender in the Big 12. So it happened then, only two. And in 2014 and 15, you had TCU's Trevon Boykin, Oklahoma State's Mason Rudolph, the only two returning starters that I found. And in 2012 to 13, you had Clint Shelf, Trevon Boykin. Remember, David Ash ended up getting hurt from that group. So you had two. So if they end up with just one returning quarterback starting from last season, which is Spencer Sanders, that would be the fewest in the history of the Big 12. You just haven't had that few quarterbacks returning. And I don't know what that means for the landscape of the Big 12, but I think that's why you have so many transfers that are expected to thrive here in the conference.
Yeah. This conference is going to be very interesting when it comes to the quarterback position. I really am a big fan of Dylan Gabriel. I was when he was at UCF. Yeah. He was a very talented quarterback. You start looking around Chandler Morris. You said it. He's coming with Sonny Dykes. I mean, it's a brand new offense, brand new thought process,
Garrett Wiley. It's Lincoln Riley's little brother.
And that is why I believe that it's going to be a wide open competition for real. Just because of that, if Max Duggan can go out there and do that. The problem with Max Duggan is he never could complete games. What I mean by complete games is first half he would be great, second half he'd be terrible. Second half he'd be terrible, first half he'd be great. He could never be the same quarterback the entire time, and that was the only thing. He was very athletic. He could run around and make things happen. But this time, not so much. So it's one of those deals where there's going to be another team that shocks you. We talked about Baylor and what their situation is with their quarterback. They are making some adjustments as well. They lost a lot. This Big 12 is wide open. That's the point for everyone. It's like there's a big opportunity for Texas to make a huge leap. Oklahoma's always going to be in the mix just because we got to believe it's just Oklahoma. And like Bob Stoops says, the program wasn't built just on the coaches. It was built on some of these players, too. We got to make sure we got good players.
I like your Bob Stoops, huh? Not bad. Only one team in the Big 12, to Harge's point, it being wide open because you have so little stability returning. Only one team in the Big 12 returns the head coach, the OC, the DC, and the starting quarterback from 2022, and that's Kansas. So they're considering Jalen Daniels to be that starting quarterback because he was the starter at the end of last season. Like I said, he didn't start the majority of the games for Kansas. You know, I got to go back and check it, but like I said, I think he started like four games for them, but they were all toward the end of the year once the quarterbacks weren't healthy. But he did beat Texas, so there is that. What you got coming up on Harsh Knock Life?
We're going to talk a little bit about Matt Harvey. You remember him as the Dark Knight for the New York Mets.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he's had a lot of problems off the field, and there was just a ruling that just came down by Major League Baseball. And then I'm going to tell you a little bit about something that's happening right here for the Round Rock Express.
Oh, all right. We got Harsh Knock Life coming up next. But before we do that, let me tell you about my friends over at Sign and Ranch Steakhouse. You can enjoy the real taste of Texas at Sign and Ranch Steakhouse on Thursday, May 26th, with a Bellamy Brothers private concert and world-class cuisine from Sign and Ranch Steakhouse. The Bellamy Brothers will be performing live on the Sign and Ranch Scenic Hilltop Stage Thursday, May 26th. Seating is limited and reservations are on a first-come, first-served basis. So reserve your spot today by calling 512-381-0800. That's 512-381-0800. Concert begins at 8:30 p.m. p.m., but dinner guests are expected to arrive around 6:30 p.m. prior to the concert to enjoy the four-course exquisite dinner of Steiner Ranch Steakhouse. $125 per person. Enjoy hand-selected entrees like the cowboy beef filet, the filling sea bass with ginger soy glaze and spaghetti squash, or the Let Your Love Flow jumbo scallops. In the evening, with dessert favorites like the I'd Lie to You for Your Love cheesecake and the Kids of the Baby Boom chocolate cake. Bellarmine Brothers private concert at Steiner Ranch Steakhouse Thursday, May 26th. Seating is limited, and reserve your spot today by calling 512-381-0800. That's 512-381-0800. We'll come right back with a Hard to Knock Life right here on Bowl Don't Lie.
Ladies and gentlemen, guys and dolls, the main event of the evening for your entertainment and pleasure.
Mike, you have to be so combative.
Now, I probably wouldn't say this in front of white folks, but in front of y'all, I'm gonna speak my mind.
He has emotional anger issue problem.
Hey, are you Dirty Mike and the boys?
I'm Mike Lowry.
Michael!
Oh, that's funny. Michael!
Welcome back to a funky hump day edition of Ball Don't Lie right here on 104.9 The Horn. It's your boy Hardball Hard. You can follow me on Twitter at Hardball Hard. You can follow my man Rod Babers at Rod Babers. And you can follow my man behind the glass at It's Patrick Davis. You can also be a part of the show, and we always love it when you are part of the show, at 512-337-3776 on the Specs text line. We've already got a couple of good things that are going on there. Everybody's got some opinions and thoughts on how the University of Texas is recruiting, if we should be excited about all these emojis and how we roll around with it. So it's been a good time. But I want to talk two things that are part of the baseball stories of the day. One I can do in the minor leagues, and that's right here in the Round Rock area. This will be happening this weekend. I'll get into that in a second. But one of the stories that caught my attention yesterday, and I don't know if we've talked about this enough, but because today is our Ranger report brought to you by Texas Truck and Trailer, we've talked about the way that the Rangers and the Angels have been playing in this series. And the Rangers are three-game win streak, playing good baseball. But if you remember a couple years ago in 2019, there was an unfortunate situation that happened. Tyler Skaggs, left-handed pitcher, starting pitcher for the Anaheim or the LA Angels, passed away in his sleep. And there was a big story that was going on with it. They even had to cancel some games because of it, because the team was emotionally distraught, rightfully so. But there was a story that came out during that time, and everybody went to this story and was like, how did he die? This is a healthy kid. Mm-hmm. What was going on? What was the story? Well, the story came out that he had overdosed on opioids. So, and he was getting these opioids from one of the Angels communication officials, Eric Kay. So they had a trial that was going on. And when during this trial, some of the players had to speak and they were questioned. And, you know, if you've ever been to court, you got a sworn testimony. You got to be able to tell the truth, because if not, you are gone. They will put you away. So during this story, former pitcher of the New York Mets, who was also a former pitcher for the Anaheim Angels, and he is currently on the Baltimore Orioles AAA team right now, Matt Harvey. When Matt Harvey was part of the New York Mets, people were always talking about how he partied hard and he was always out, but he was pitching good. But he was one of those guys that you would see around town all the time. Mm-hmm. He was just that guy. They actually created the Dark Knight for him because he became Batman, because he was that guy. He was, every time he pitched, they would be talking about Batman because everybody knew his story. He was always out in part of the town. Well, during his testimony, during that time, it said Matt Harvey, he gets 60-game suspension from MLB for his participation in the distribution of the opioids from the testimony that he had on Eric Kay. And what ended up happening was they would exchange pills all the time. That was basically, he was getting Percocet during this time while they were on the road. And obviously, if you know anything about that drug, you don't mix it with alcohol. You don't want to do anything with it. But that was the party favor, right? Mm. Everybody was doing it, so to speak. And they even said, and this is kind of crazy, he said that him and Skaggs would exchange pills in the clubhouse. And he used the Percocet in the clubhouse and in the dugout. And he said he saw him snort it in the clubhouse bathroom.
Wow.
So during all this time, and he ended up passing away, and he was only 27 years old. And what he ended up doing was ended up choking on his vomit. The K, the communications guy, he got charged with two felony counts of distribution for this. But Matt Harvey has now been suspended for 60 games through the minor league system and the major league system. So needless to say, I don't think Matt Harvey's going to be there. He's going to be 33 years old. And I think he's at that point now where this entire team, this entire situation, the organization has had to deal with this. The Skaggs family, obviously, they're in our prayers because they're still dealing with this. But they understand now how this happened. Now, Rod, you and I have both been on at the highest level we can possibly be at as far as athletics is concerned. That was a bad segue into that one, as being as high as the level as we can possibly be.
True.
But,
yeah, I got you.
But what we've been around some of these situations where there's some players that like to get down, they go about their business. We saw the 30 for 30 on the New York Mets and how much they were partying and things like that. We're not oblivious to the things that are going on. But when you start getting it from people within the organization, it starts to change the way people are viewing things as well. So for the LA Angels are having to deal with this and reliving this situation, this is something that this story is going to continue to follow until they get all the resolutions. There was no doubt about it. They always thought that this was where they were getting it. I had heard rumors about it myself. They were like, no, it was coming from somebody close to the team, because that's how they were able to travel with it. And they had the connections to be able to get the stuff.
Which means they were taking it across state lines.
They were taking, which is probably why he's got the felony, felony counts now.
It changes it.
So it changes the way that this is being viewed. But this is one of those chapters that is finally getting an opportunity to be closed and moving forward. You obviously, the MLB's drug abuse policies and rehab and all that other stuff is going into effect right now. So I'm sure that there's been a lot of testing and a lot of different ways that all this organization is having to handle this situation. So Matt Harvey, 60 games, and he was a part of the distribution of all this stuff. And again, court testimony is how we found that out. Now, the other part of my story is kind of, you know, we talked about the dark side of it and if this is going to play into the dark side. So this weekend, the Round Rock Express, and I got this sent to me earlier today, the Round Rock Express is going to be able, for the first time, we're going to have an automated ball strike buzzer. Oh. They're going to have it this weekend here at Round Rock. So the umpires will still be wearing the equipment, but they will be buzzed if it is a ball and if it is a strike. And this will take place this weekend, Friday through Sunday. They take on the El Paso Chihuahuas, the AAA affiliate of the San Diego Padres. This will be the first time it'll be used at the Dell Diamond. And we'll talk a little bit more about it as I find out how it gets done this weekend. That'll for the first cool, time. So here's they sent a little reference card just so everybody can understand what's going on. So the width of the plate is 19 inches. The depth of the plate is 8.5 inches. Okay, the top of the strike zone is 52%, and the 52% of the strike zone will be there. So like Altuve, he's got two from his where the Astros would be, or the number 27 on his jersey.
Yeah.
He would have 2 feet to be able to ball and strike, right? To the bottom of his knees. The top of the strike zone for Aaron Judge is 3 feet. Because he's a lot taller than what he is, and it goes down to a foot off the ground. So now you start to see how the dynamics of the strike zone are going to be. If any part of the ball touches the strike zone, the pitch will be called a strike.
Wow.
The size of the ABS strike zone is similar to the strike zone that is used at the major league level. So this is going to be one of those things, because everybody's talked about this. Everybody's talked about we need to get automated strike zone. And it'd be like pushing a button. They will tell them if it's a ball or a strike. Mm. And that's going to be the fun part about it. So I'm going to find out a little bit more this weekend. I'm going to try to go out to the ballpark on Sunday because I've already got some prior commitments on Friday and Saturday. But I definitely want to be a part of this and learn a little bit more. But they are going to be using an automatic ball strike device this weekend.
And any part of the ball that touches that zone,
even a little tip of
it's
a strike. It's a strike.
Wow.
Yeah, and you see it in the games right now. There's pitches that are being called strikes that aren't strikes, and there's pitches that are being called balls that are not strikes. That are strikes. Yeah.
Now you see.
So we saw it last night during the Texas game. There were a couple pitches you're looking at, like, what is this guy looking at? I always thought they should have done it a little bit more in the college levels. I've always thought that. I think if you're going to try to start something like that, I've always thought it should be part of the college level because those guys are the ones that are trying to progress to the big leagues.
Yeah.
And you get a better plate discipline as mm-hmm. you get older.
That makes
right?
sense.
So you start there, and if you're learning the discipline at the plate, then you can continue your path to the major league.
Through the minors, they would still be doing it there too.
Exactly. Yeah. So you would still already know. So I've always thought it should have started at the testing level to be at the college level because a lot of these umpires at this level, some are good, some are bad, but that's everywhere, just like referees and officials.
Every sport.
Yeah. And I've always thought that, but I am going to see how this works this weekend, and I'll have a full report on Monday.
Yeah, that's going to be – yeah, that'd be pretty cool. So it's going to be all weekend or just for
– just all this weekend.
Just all this weekend.
That's the initial email that I got that they were going to be putting that. So.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to watch how the process works, if it'll end up getting delayed or if it'll be quick. Like, I wonder if it speeds up the game, slows down the game. Things kind of cool. All right, Harsh Knock Life, great Harsh Knock Life there from my man Harsh. We'll come back. We'll get into an off the record. Got more baseball discussion, as a matter of fact.
Come on.
This is a bit salacious. Apparently, a baseball player chunked the deuce to his wife, and he did it on a whim. And we'll get into it. Some of the details are pretty, pretty shady. You're probably not supposed to dump your wifey like this. Oh. We'll get into it on the other side. We'll talk about that and more right here on Ball Don't Lie on 104 on the Horn.
D.D. Mangudu,
once it's turned on, the sign will spell out Deli Cat Essen.
Well, I don't get a brain man comb.
Well, congratulations. Continue good sex in the Big East. Thank you, Jimmy.
And boom goes the dynamite.
It's time for another edition of Off the Record.
Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. F***ing thing sucks.
All right, welcome back to another edition of Off the Record here. And, this actually is a story that Hard sent me, and I hadn't seen it before now, so I don't actually know who this guy is. So you probably
I do.
You know who this guy is.
Yep, yep.
So is he a shady guy, Zach Davies?
No, you wouldn't even think of him as that. I don't know him personally like that.
Okay.
But he's a pitcher that everyone, when you watch him pitch, you just seem like he's an unassuming guy. Just seems like he goes about his business and handles it and then goes on to the next thing.
Okay.
Obviously.
So no reputation.
No
for this
reputation.
Dude, no stigma. Oh, I see what you did there. okay, so apparently the story on this dude is, and I got it from Black Sports Online, BSO. It says Zach Davies' wife, Megan, dropped a bombshell on Instagram about how her husband ghosted her after finding love with another woman. That's right. According to Megan, she filed for divorce as soon as she found out about Davies' affair with another woman. Social media people constructed the story and put it together. It says longtime Major League Baseball pitcher Zach Davies is in the news for all the wrong reasons. On Tuesday, Davies' longtime wife, Megan, posted a long message detailing how he left her in the dark last year while having an affair. Zach Davies has been married to Megan since 2016, but apparently things went south during COVID.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. She said he has now responded to allegations but made from his wife, but you'd have to think that he can't be happy about how she is sharing his dirty laundry. In 2021, this is what she posted on Instagram. In 2021, my world as I knew it completely fell apart. My husband cut off all communication from me while I was back home in Arizona and he was in another state. He sent a text message at 6 a.m. in the morning and then blocked me. I soon found he was having an affair and had to file for divorce without even having a single conversation with the person I built a life with. I spent 10 years supporting and loving this man. I made his dream my own only for him to ghost me, he leave his dogs, and have me find out about his affair through word of mouth. Zach took the easy way out where he doesn't have to be held accountable for his actions. He has a luxury of pretending our life never existed. Wow. Man, that is some world-class a-hole D-baggery right there.
Remember in Harlem Nights?
I do remember Harlem Nights. Sunshine.
Sunshine got him.
Sunshine.
He made the phone call. He sent it in a text. He didn't even call. Hey.
Sent it in a text.
Where are the kids? Hey, let me speak to your mother. I ain't never coming home. Sunshine.
I ain't never coming home.
Yeah. Have a nice life. Click.
Now, I want to see the other woman. Don't you want to see the other woman? My first thought is like, I got to see the other woman. Because his wife is very, she's attractive.
She's definitely attractive.
She's attractive. Yes. She's a good looking woman. Mm-hmm. I mean, you built a life. You obviously care for her. So now, because we know it is undefeated. It has brought down governments. It has brought down civilizations. It, all right, can turn a really smart man to do really stupid stuff. There are three things that make really smart men really dumb really quickly, and it's sports, women, and politics.
So here's the thing, Rod.
So I got to see this other woman.
So Mr. Zach Davies, when he was drafted in the 26th round and by the Orioles. He's from Gilbert, Arizona. So he was playing in other places. What'd she say, 2016?
She said got married in 2016.
They got married in 2016.
December of 2016.
He was playing with the Milwaukee Brewers.
Okay.
Played there the entire time from 2016 up until 2020. He ended up playing for the San Diego Padres. Now guess where he's playing this year? The Arizona Diamondbacks.
Man.
Right by where the scene of the crime was. She said he left me while I was at home in Arizona.
Yeah, when she was in Arizona. Because she is
from Arizona as well.
So that karma that he's got to now play in Arizona with the woman he ghosted. But they don't have kids together, so I guess.
They just got a dog.
They got a dog. Still wrong to ghost her. You got to take care of your dog, too.
Yeah, exactly.
But, man, I would say men hate awkward conversations. This is why men don't go to the doctor very often. They don't talk to their kids about sex. And men just hate. That's why men will oftentimes be cowards, and they will sabotage a relationship rather than just breaking up with a woman.
Right.
But this is actually even more cowardice than sabotaging a relationship. This is, you know, this to me, yeah, man, this is bad. You got it's your wife. With your wife, you gotta have the awkward conversation with your wife. Nobody wants to have the awkward conversation with their wife. Anytime your wife comes up to you and says, "We need to talk," you hate those four dreaded. Those are dreaded words for any man because no man feels like you ever need to talk. Do we want to talk? Yeah, we don't need to talk. Yeah, so you need to have that conversation. It's an awkward one, but yeah, man, don't be a coward. Break up with her.
Yeah.
Hell, didn't Rory McIlroy break up? Didn't he break
via
up via text?
Too. Yeah.
It was a fiance though, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Was it Wozniacki?
Yes.
Was it Wozniacki?
Yes.
She's had some bad luck with men, I believe.
Yeah. That's fair to say.
Remember? Yeah. You know what? It's worse than Roy Williams proposing.
Oh.
Legendary Lifetime Longhorn proposing. Wasn't it via the mail he proposed?
Didn't he send her?
Send her the ring and a VHS tape or DVD.
Yeah. And it was a Valentine's Day proposal via postal mail.
Yes.
Yeah. She did not accept the proposal.
But
she did keep the ring for a little while, and then he had to get that back though too. But anyway, yeah, man, you gotta have that conversation. That's crazy. Yeah, he's a coward for that. Sorry. You're a coward for that, man.
How do you walk into the clubhouse after that and not everyone just starts making
fun of
you?
Everybody's looking at you like this.
Bro, you didn't first of all, now you can't bring your girl around anyone else. Because all our wives hate you.
That's true. Every wife hates him now. It's a great point. Every wife hates this guy. You're right. Good point. You're right about that. Every woman hates him pretty much.
Yeah. And then they're all going to be like Timmy in ninth grade who never called me back. It switched classes to get out of my class. That's who you are, and I hate you for it.
Yeah. Now, it's a good point about the wives, though. The wives are like, you cannot hang out with him. Yeah. If you tell me you are with that man, nope, you need to come home right now because that dude is got to be a bad influence on you. Dang, to ghost your wife? The ghoster?
Yeah,
you can
man.
Break up with her. But just to send her a text and then ghost her, I got to see this other woman. I got to see her.
That is the biggest. Oh, yeah,
I want to see her so bad. I got to see her. Because she's got to be amazing.
Not necessarily.
Or maybe it's amazing.
There we go.
So she don't have
to
be amazing.
The right type of crazy.
Yeah, that right mix of crazy, but also.
Deranged.
Yeah, exactly. But also, she's a freak in the sheets, but a lady when she needs to be, all those kind of things. So I don't know. But yeah, man, good luck. Good luck, bro, because you're going to need it. You're going to need it. Because what's that old saying?
They hate you.
That old saying is you lose them how you got them.
Yep.
So if this is how, I'm talking to the young lady, whoever it is, if this is how he did his wife, oh, you got no chance. You got no, and I know it may be good now, but if that's the way he did wifey, oh, no, he'll do you the same way. He will do you. There will be some other that's just as good.
Man. So you're right. So you were talking about the fact of the wives and how you can't bring them around. So some of the players of the Milwaukee Brewers team, the wives have come to her side.
Of course.
Oh, you know, Women United.
Oh,
here
yeah.
He goes. I'm so proud of you, girl. Lorenzo Cain's wife, Jenny. You deserve the world. Don't let anyone steal your joy. They already out there. And it's just, I'm looking at Zach Davies and I'm like, bro.
Was it worth it?
Yeah. So the wife of free agent Eric Sogar. Love you, Meg. I am so, so proud of you.
The other question is, did they sign a prenup? They had to. Because she didn't sign a prenup, she'd have taken him for everything he had.
Oh, it still may come, man.
Right?
It still may come.
She must have signed a prenup.
He's not out of the doghouse yet.
I know. I'm just saying, like, because if he didn't sign a prenup, then that was definitely a dumb move.
They're asking who we're talking about. We're talking about Zach Davies. His ex-wife, estranged wife.
He ghosted his wife
for
some new.
And I
love new too, but you're a married man.
Yeah. So. you just put yourself in the doghouse, player.
Yeah,
for real.
You can't get new, you got to renew. You can't get new, you got to renew that old stuff. Bring me back. All right, we'll come back. We'll get into Mavs and Warriors. We'll preview that matchup. Talk about the NBA playoffs. All that and more right here on Ball Don't Lie. 104.9 The Horn.